as soon as he does that, he'll show me. And all right, so the recording has been started, and now what I'd like to do is talk about the program today. This is a second in our series of the Success Now program. It's January 5th, 2012, and it's approximately 2 o'clock in the Eastern time zone of the U.S. of A. Today we have a very exciting speaker. Her name is Linda Brewer. Linda is one of our certified Healing Codes practitioners and, in fact, was one of our very beginning ones. She's certified in Q Codes, LT3, LT4, and also in the new custom-guided coding program that we're doing. Linda's been with us for a long, long time. She started at... Oh, now we're going to have... As you can tell, we're multimedia here. We now have the dog talking in the background to all of you. But Linda started her company, LSG, Leadership Strategy Greatness, in 1989. She has a passion for always trying to help people empower themselves for their destiny of greatness through truth, honor, and accountability. Her vision is to honor all who engage in conversation and business with us to be honored. Her mission is to establish rapport through our language, behavior, and choices for honor in our communications, agreements, and behavior for creation of sustainable and prosperous relationships. Her work as a destiny architect creates opportunities for one to choose their destiny through exploring their belief system that creates their thoughts, their words, their actions, and establishes the habits that become our character, and of course our character creates our destiny. It takes us to where we go. In search for a healing process that did not require repetitive investments, she came upon the Healing Codes, and it is that which she works with today to give her clients choices on healing and to allow her to help them through that process. Today, as an addition to our Success Now program, she is going to be talking to us about relationships, entanglement versus empowerment, and I actually can't wait to hear this. By the way, a little sidebar. Linda has helped Alex at his LT3 reunion sessions over and over again, and she spends time with the clients after the sessions till midnight, just really helping them through their own personal journeys. And she's just a dedicated, dedicated practitioner, and we love having her. So with that, Linda, I'm going to turn the podium over to you.
Well, thank you, Marianne, and thank you for that appropriate music. And I want to take just a few minutes to acknowledge Tom and Marianne's contribution to all of our lives through their dedication of empowering people. So thank you, Tom and Marianne. And we especially appreciate Marianne being with us today. She has some personal things going on and physical things. So this is her dedication. So let's, when we're all unmuted, let's really acknowledge Marianne too. And thank you. You and your time are honored. My heart intention for being with you today is to help us discover choices that will help you understand you are love and you are loved. Today in our program, we're going to begin with two exercises, and then we're going to discuss the four areas of relationships: you, family, friends, business associates, and what entangles those relationships and how we can move through that in love and truth for empowerment. We will be discussing behavior patterns, the power of words, what our body really tells us, and how truth really can heal us. So let's just take a deep breath and welcome and appreciate everyone. And if you have a pad and pencil, that would be helpful in this first exercise, because this is truly your time today to build a relationship with you. And in the process today, I am asking you on a piece of paper to make three columns. The first column is just a big X. The next column is a big question mark. And the next column is a beautiful star. So as we are talking and sharing today, when you are aware of holding your breath and feeling resistance in your body, just put a little X under your X column. When you hear yourself judging, blaming, making excuses, put a question mark under your question mark column. And when you smile and something really resonates with you and your breath becomes very smooth, give yourself a big, big star. Then our next exercise is just to put us in a position where we can be more aware of the resistance, our thoughts, and really celebrating ourselves. Have you ever seen a picture, an ultrasound, or a film on TV or something when a little child, a little unborn baby is in its mother's womb, and how it will stretch? How it will just take its chin down to the father's, just as close to its chest as it can. And it will just take this big breath, and it will come up, and it will stretch, and it will kick, and it just lets out the biggest breath. Well, today we're going to do an exercise that gives us a sense of that. So whatever you're sitting on, if you could move to the edge of that as far as you can safely for the support, and take your chin down as far as you can to your chest area, and begin to breathe and put your hands on your hips where your legs and your hips connect, with your finger, your thumb going to the back of your lower part of your spine, your sacral door, and rest your hands on your legs. And then as you take a deep breath through your nose, and it's cut down on the as close to your chest as it can be, blow up your stomach with just love, with fresh breath. And just notice where there's any resistance. If it goes all the way down through your legs and out your toes and your fingers, congratulations. But then as you let that breath out, start to bring your neck and your chin up. And when all of the air is out, and if you can't get it all, exhale through your nose, feel free to let it out through your mouth. But just notice if your chest opens and you want to stretch your arms, and you really feel connected to you. And I'm going to ask us to do this exercise about 3 times, taking that deep breath and letting it out and doing that stretching. You can't do it wrong. And what you feel and what you think is not wrong. It just is what you think and you feel. And this is about building a relationship with you. So we're going to take, and I'm going to be doing it too, so I'll have a sense when you are finished or you're near completion. And so just do it at your pace. This is your life. Chin down, breathing through the nose, letting the air go down, the breath go down the spine, into the tummy, and then out your legs and feet. And then bring it up and let all of the air out. And if you have water, it would be an excellent time to take a nice drink of water. And then just notice any feeling that you have, what thoughts you have, any images, and congratulations on participating in your life. And as we explore today relationship, the one that if you get it right in your spirit through your belief system that you are love and you are loved, all of the others will be an opportunity for you to love and be grateful. So the me, myself, and I, the mind, body, and spirit, these relationships that we have with ourselves, family members, friends, business, they either entangle you or empower you. They will have a direct effect on your health, your life work, and whatever your life work might be. It can be from parenthood to sitting in a chair knitting. Whatever that is, it will affect your ability and creativity to do it. Your finances. I've been having this image as I've been working with people on finances, is everything is so symbolic. And if you, in your checking account, or if you work with your accountant, our body truly is like the T account in bookkeeping. What you put in, you can take out, but if you take more out than you put in, then stress sets up. But if you let your arms out and you consider that as we take in, that is the only thing we can give out. So I've really been playing with that image, and it's just sort of been fun. Am I putting out more than I'm taking in? The primary difference in the relationship with yourself that you have with your family members, your friends, and your business associates is that you have no control on how that other person feels, thinks, or acts. Zero control. And that is devastating to a lot of us, but that is a universal law that is unchangeable. Just as you do not have control over these other people, at your conception, you inherited the emotional condition of your father at the time of conception, the emotional condition of your mother, then everything she thought, she experienced, the words spoken by her and the words spoken to her. Our cellular memories have begun, and they will continue through our physical lives to death. Not only do we inherit the cellular beliefs of our parents, each of us come with three unchangeable, undeniable core needs: to belong, to be worthy, and worthy, some other words for worthy is love and honor, to be competent. And when we have entangled or unhealthy beliefs, whatever our eyes see, the lust of the eyes, our worth is in what we can have, which can create the financial lack. The desires of what we can have, that we stress ourselves out and we work hard and we sacrifice doing the right thing to have things, makes our bodies sick. And then the pride of life, that cuts out that beautiful spark of divinity that we each one comes with. It's what we think and what we know is our value. And this sets up very destructive habits. we each have this spark of divinity that gets smothered and covered as we operate from fear and stress. These incorrect beliefs that smother out in love and truth our belonging, our worthiness, our loving and honor, and to be competent, they set up behaviors that we create actions that either put us in a position that we believe we either need to rescue people or we need to be rescued. We either become a victim or we victimize. We persecute or we become persecuted. Again, that process of survival, smothering out that beautiful love and light that is at the very core of our essence. And I used to think fear was the root of all of it. And I recently learned from a young pastor from Singapore, Joseph Prince, condemnation is truly the root of our smothering and entanglement relationship with ourselves and our family and our friends and business associates. So let's imagine the purpose of our spine, and this is the purpose of our spine for support, but at the very root of it, where we have that spark of divinity and that desire for life, that the only thing that we feed that spark of love and light is condemnation. That comes through words that we speak, the experiences that we have, and it just continuously dims that. And then so our mind and body and spirit go into the survival mode. And from the condemnation, we create the fear that I will never belong. I will never be competent. I am unlovable. I am unworthy. And from the stress, Julie Roberts just said it so beautifully in Pretty Woman. She said, talking to Richard Gere as they were lying in bed, it's so much easier to believe the bad things. My belief is the part that was not communicated and where Julie did not take responsibility is, she said, and I did not have the courage to stand in my own power and strength and declare, I am love and loved, therefore I have the inherent right not to be condemned. As the stress is fed, it creates financial lack. It creates strict sickness, and destructive habits are developed. Then as we live our daily lives, the things we see, the things we experience, create a signal to our spirit that sends that thought to the brain that creates those words, that establishes our habits, and our habit, one choice at a time, becomes that character. And one day we wake up and say, how did I get here? This was not what I was created for. There is more to life. And we begin that journey to awaken the spark of essence into the awareness of who we really are. And we do this becoming aware of the power of our words. Our tongue is one of the smallest parts of our body, but yet it has the power of life and death. We live and die by our words. It's like that little rudder on the bottom of a ship, one of the smallest parts of a ship. But wherever that rudder takes that ship, the ship will go. And that's the same with our body. Two, how your body responds to the words you speak. Your body will not lie to you. So whatever your body is telling you, listen. It's the wisest counselor you have. In our bridge area, we hold that fear of shame and conceit, and it's also where all of our emotions gather. Some languaging that is used with the fear of shame and conceit, you use a lot of I's. You make excuses. You procrastinate. Superior attitude. In our temple area, this is an indication you're attempting mentally to figure out, do I belong? Am I worthy? But I believe, my belief is that this is where we hold this, am I competent? This is how we master that. And the sad part of mastering the intellect, so often we leave that spirit down there just fluttering, flickering for light. I call the words that we use when I notice people living from their intellect, that is truly their value. I don't know. I think. I hope so. I believe. I see. And when I work with my clients and they say, I don't know, I ask them, are you willing to just give that part of you, your spirit, enough room to open that it would just let enough light in that you can just crack the door a little bit to see how much you are loved and how you are love. The temple area is also where we hold our fear of inconsistency, fear of being reliable. Our jaw area is our anger area. We grit our teeth. We tighten our jaws. We are determined. And we use a lot of war language. I would never take that. I'd smack him. Just notice the people you're around that makes your jaws get tightened. Our Adam's apple holds back the flow of life. We are afraid to say something that needs to be said in love and truth because we feel like we would die. No one would love us. No one would accept us and let us belong within their circle of friends. And it certainly shows that we're not competent. My goodness, if I speak up, what would I do? What would people think? Our shoulders, taking on responsibilities that are not yours, and you cannot control the circumstances. So we just keep piling on, and our shoulders get tighter and tighter. Our shoulder blades, have you ever heard someone say, I feel like someone's stabbing me in the back? They have had someone to stab them in the back, trust me. Lower back, not feeling supported, usually financially, but down in the reproductive organs and down in that lower part of the back is about belonging. Truly, that's where our relationships are really created. Our knees, we're afraid to bend to authority, so we rebel. And when you look at some illnesses, female issues, I always encourage people to begin to wonder and ask, how do I, at a very subconscious spiritual level, look at myself as a woman? But then how does God see me? And men with male issues, I ask them to begin to wonder at a very subconscious spiritual level how they see themselves as a man, and then let God tell them how he sees them. When you think about your body, remember you are created uniquely. Every part has a distinct purpose. Your hands have healing capabilities in them. They were created to produce. They were produced to give out and receive, coming back to that financial spiritual balance. Our spine, as we talked about earlier, that's our support. That's our tree trunk. Our legs, where do they want to take us? What are we going from and going to? Our feet, we stand on solid ground. They are our anchor. So begin to love your body and all the great things it does for you. Yes, stress does kill you. Truth will heal you. Some behavior patterns that create the stress. We judge, we criticize, we blame, we make excuses, we procrastinate. And some of the outcomes we get from that is we become depressed. My belief system is that depression is just emotions that we have depressed for so long that we think if we let them out that we would either explode, we would kill someone, we literally would die. And I encourage you, if someone has said a diagnosis over you that you're depressed, begin to really ask yourself, what am I so afraid to express? What am I so afraid to feel? Crime comes out of these behavior patterns, because if we don't have, we don't have any value, we don't feel like we belong, crime's created. We become addicted to food, drug, alcohol, exercise. We can become to things that look like they're good for us. But if they aren't in balance and they aren't empowering us, they have been stretched to that extreme where they create stress. Some of the languaging around this, like the blame, is who's responsible for this mess? Making excuses, well, if you had done this, I could have done that. Who said what? I specifically remember you said this. The empowerment language would be, I have, I sense, I feel. Truth will heal. If you can begin to keep your commitments to yourself. How many promises do you make yourself per day that you're going to do this, 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 and at the end of the day, you have not done them? You have not kept that promise. I encourage you to sit down, journal that, and forgive yourself. And notice why you overloaded yourself or what was really true, the reason you didn't get it done. This will begin to empower you. This will spark that spirit of truth in you, and you'll become alive. Yes, I can do this. Be accountable. If you tell someone you're going to do it, do it. If something comes up and you can't do it in the time frame you can do it, contact them and say, I made this commitment and I need to ask. I had one client, he said, I just don't understand what you mean by accountable. He said, I just got so much on my plate. He said, I got to have all these things done by 9:30 in the morning. I said, can you do them? He said, no, but I'm expected. And I said, what is the most important thing? And he named one. I said, the others, when can you get them done? Contact those people and tell them that's when you're going to get it done, because that's really when you're going to get it done, right? And he said, yes. And he took this deep breath and he said, wow. So life is not difficult. It's just really simple. The appropriate laughter. I used to have a bookkeeper that worked with us, and the more stressed out or the more unsure she was, the louder she laughed and the more she laughed. And that was such a signal to me. So I learned how important appropriate laughter is, how it breaks that stuckness sometimes, but it needs to be appropriate. Healthy relationship honors differences. One of my great breakthroughs just this past year was I learned and I made it my vision that I will be in relationships where I can honor and I am honored. For most of my life, I had forgotten about that part, and I am honored. That is an inherent right of yours and mine as human beings. Learn to take responsibility for our language, our feelings, and our thoughts, and you will be feeding that spark of love and light in your spirit. Now, for the rest of our time, I want us to put this in action, what we've talked about today. And we're going to have time for questions and answers at the end. And whatever your question is, please ask it. Please stand up with that courage and that power. I may not have an answer, but I will listen with a loving heart, because you matter. So we're going to start today, right now, learning to feel our feelings and not act them out, to tell the truth about what we're feeling and how to keep our agreements. So on your pad and pencil, in relationship with yourself, just think about what are the top three things that create stress in you, in your life. And just breathe into that. And then choose the one that creates the greatest stress. And as you choose that, explore and discover what is the belief that drives the stress. Is it truly in love and honor? Or is it one that I inherited or adopted to feel like I belong, that I was worthy of love and honor, or I was competent? Choose to heal it, the issue, the belief, in love and truth. And I encourage you to practice starting your truth statements with I am and noticing where you have resistance. Again, I had a client the other day, and we were talking about love. And he says, Linda, that just doesn't resonate with me. And I said, well, what does resonate with you? He says, wisdom. So find the word where you are right now that resonates with you in love and truth. And say that out loud and just see how that feels for you. Congratulations, whatever you said, and I celebrate freedom in your spirit. Your spirit just, I have this picture sometimes that when I'm just totally in love and truth, I just feel this flame coming up my spine and going out all the nerve endings, and I just feel so alive. What action will you take in truth and love to continue removing the stress from being in relationship with yourself? Now let's choose a family member, the one that creates the greatest stress in you when you either have to call them, be around them, whatever. What belief drives the stress? Is it yours? Really, really yours? That is in love and truth and honor? Or is it one you've learned, inherited, or adopted? What is an honorable choice for you and this person moving forward? And sometimes the most honorable and loving thing you can do is remove yourself from that relationship. And you may say, oh my gosh, that's my husband, that's my child. Well, then learn to ask questions in love with the intention to learn more about what is going on in them. What action will you need to take to heal this relationship? And if you don't have time to finish this, and I would almost be assured that you don't, this is just to help you get started, to help you become focused on how you are taking responsibility for you and building relationships that will empower you. And when you are empowered, the only thing you can give away is empowerment. What friend creates the greatest stress for you? What belief drives the stress? Is it really, really, really yours? Or did you inherit it? And this inheritance could be like a bias. It could be your culture. Or did you adopt it to belong or to be worthy in a strange, twisted way in a relationship? Or did you adopt it? What is an honorable choice for you and this person to move forward in love? Is there an action to take to heal this relationship? And the last one is where the greatest resistance most of the time really will come up. An associate at work, a boss, an associate, someone who we believe has the power to take away our livelihood, that controls our finances. Who is this person? Where do you hold that stress when you are around them? Is it really yours? Or again, did you learn, inherit it, or adopt it? What power do you believe that person has over you that creates the stress? Is there an honorable choice for you and this person in moving forward? Is there an action that you can take to heal the relationship? And the greater the stress, the greater the healing, and the greater the love that you can give. So let's all just take that deep breath again and just move our bodies and just celebrate that we have spent approximately 42 minutes really connecting with ourselves, because every one of these relationships is about us stepping out and being a radiant source of love and encouragement and gratitude and power. Are you ready? And if you're not ready today, will you continue the journey till you know that you know that you know that you are love? You were created by a creator who is only love. And you are loved regardless of your behavior, your decisions, your choices. You cannot change that love just as you cannot change another person. Thank you.
Linda, that was absolutely beautiful, and I'm sure everybody on the line would agree that when you think of being successful, you think of your skill set and what you offer to other people, but you've really drawn an analogy and given us some things to think about, that we really need to deal with the inside out of ourselves so that we can, in fact, use our skills in an appropriate way to gain our success. Having said that, I'm going to offer that if anybody on the phone would like to ask Linda a question, if you hit *2, you can. I will see you on the line. And I'm going to be jockeying back and forth between the telephone line, again, *2. And then I'm going to go and see if we have any internet questions that might be coming. I know a couple of people, Linda, have asked for if there's any kind of handout. Now, I don't know if you have anything that if we could send it out in when we send out the replay link, if we sent out a handout of sorts, so when people go back through and listen to the recording, whether or not they'd be able to really take better notes and, you know, have a call to action so that they would get themselves more involved. Do you have anything like that?
I do, and I will, is it best, Marianne, that I just send you a link to, or I can send you some PDF files?
Yep, you send me whatever you have, and then I'll make sure it gets in the replay link so that
okay.
People can have the opportunity to download those things.
Okay.
Download those. It appears that you are incredibly clear. Again, *2 on your phone to raise your hand. If there's anybody in this myriad of people that would like to ask Linda a question or make a comment, I'm open to see those hands. if I don't see hands in a few seconds, then we will come to a conclusion. Oh, see, I knew if I waited long enough, Linda, we'd get them out of the rafters. So the first person, Albuquerque, New Mexico, last four digits, 1040. Go ahead and ask your question. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering about the what she had said about that we have no control over what others think, feel, and there was another aspect that we have no control over in terms of other people, and I didn't get that in my notes.
Okay, and I want to give you exactly what I said, so if you can give me a moment, I'll find that in my notes for sure.
Sure.
And that's the great news, and when we accept that, let me see, you have to participate. Well, I think that was at the very beginning.
Yeah, it was close to the beginning. It was like after you talked about the three columns, I think.
Yeah. Well, I seem to be minus that whole page, so let's see here. Oh, the primary differences, in the relationship with yourself, your family members, friends, and businesses, associates, is that you have no control on what or how the other person feels, thinks, or acts.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking.
Okay, that's terrific. I'm now going to unmute someone from Pinckney, Michigan, 9879, last four digits of your phone. You're on.
Thank you. I am. When you had us go into the exercise of thinking of who causes or, you know, where our most stressful relationships are, when I thought of one of the relationships, I realized how diminished I can feel around this person, and I wonder, you know, I know that this person is just in my life, but I wonder how to feel my own, you know, my own centeredness and to keep in mind my own worthiness and all, and when another that I have no control over and still need to be around, you know, I'm dealing with my feelings the whole time that I'm with this person, and not feeling like I'm coming from a place of love.
Would you like to share your first name? If not, it's okay.
Ellen.
Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
When you are with this person, where do you feel the stress in your body the most? That's good. Just take that on down.
Well, you know, when you were talking about the Adam's apple, I think I had a dream one time of just having a, you know, like almost a something around my neck, you know, and that I couldn't speak or couldn't be heard. And this person was in the dream, and I couldn't talk to this person, so I gave them a cassette recording of what I wanted to say. But it was, so I guess the throat area, the being able to express myself.
And so can you remember the first time you ever felt that choking around your neck?
I'm saying that again, but I'm
and that's that clearing of that throat is a sign that your spirit is saying, let's look at this, let's heal this, because when people clear their throat, they've got it to say. They're just so afraid to say it. So I admire you coming on and just letting all of us experience this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. When you said it went how early, that's a very early feeling of choking up, you know, when I wanted to say something.
Yes. It sounds like and feels like it could have been something even at birth. But what I'm going to encourage you to do is just, and everyone on the line, just take a moment and think of a time when you really wanted to say something and you were so frightened. And Ellen, just breathe into that. Give that choked feeling around your neck some breath. If you can, like you're sort of goggling your throat. And with it, you just see this beautiful halo of love and radiant light coming out. And just let that darkness and that tightness go. And if you could say anything about anything in your life, what would it be?
I'm just feeling so tight around my throat right now.
That's okay. Just continue to breathe. Just let it be. You are safe. And you can say anything you would like. And I would encourage you to let the tears come. Just release this tightness in your throat.
I don't think it's releasing.
You think it is or it isn't?
Doesn't feel like it's releasing.
Okay. Can you move your neck a little bit and just do, are you in a position where you can just do the Adam's apple and just feel the chokeness? Sometimes we have to intensify that chokeness and then let it relax. And just think about the very first time you ever had that choking feeling. And just whatever thoughts, whatever picture might come up.
Well, you know, I'm doing the energy direction to my Adam's apple, and that released it. It's, but as far as having thoughts, early thoughts, being a little girl and not maybe being regarded or paid attention to, maybe that's what's coming up. It's not any particular experience.
Well, the release is there, right?
It is. It is.
Yes, and that's what we need is the release. So if nothing else came, if the release came, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Oh, that does feel. I'm still doing the directing energy to my Adam's apple, and that's
yes.
Just changed everything.
Congratulations.
Helen, if you don't mind, when this is all over, I'm going to give Linda your phone number so that she can check with you, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is that okay with you, Linda?
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you, Marianne. Yes.
All right, Helen, I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to tell everybody on the line this. I have two more questions on the phone, and then I have about 9 on the Internet. So if you'd all hang in there, we're going to get them answered. Oh, and I have more. I'm going to take one more on the phone, then I'll switch to the Internet. Now, Wenatchee, Washington, 1283, you are unmuted.
Okay, I'm Kathleen Miller. I met you, Linda, at a seminar about 4 years ago. I am suffering, and I check myself and again and again and again and again, and I'm with my husband. I feel like he doesn't love or honor me. It's it's like an unconscious level of him that I have to be down and he has to be up no matter what. And I have a daughter who's now 46 and is widowed with two little boys, and she is suffering terribly. And I believe it's because I have not stood up and spoken the truth and come out okay with it. To my best ability, what I have spoken, I get run over by a track layer tractor again and again. And the two of them have sided together, and I believe she's had to side with him so she won't be abused also. This is verbally and emotionally. And I'm really distraught about it, and I feel like I can unthread this if I can be brave enough to, I guess when I hear you today, to come forward and ask what does he need in the relationship, or what, or can we take it apart, and how can we do that without wounding our children more? I guess I'm not asking the question very well and stating the situation more, but I guess I should ask him why he wanted to marry me. I don't know what I can do.
Well, would
a
more
years.
Where do you hold this stress in your body? Just the most stress. Where do you hold the most stress?
I feel like I have a walnut under my right shoulder blade most of the time now. I have I've had it in my intestines a lot. In my heart, I'm quite shut down. My complete digestion system was almost completely shut down in about May or June of this year, and I've worked really hard on getting it opened up.
So some questions I would ask you to consider is, what will it take for me to digest life, my life?
Oh, good question. It's getting away from this.
And whatever this is, I would name it. And I noticed that you were, in your conversation, there was a lot of protection and a lot of rescuing. So you were fluctuating between that victim, that rescuing, and persecution. You have what I would call a perfect balance in those almost.
Oh, yes.
And so what I would encourage you to do, and I have a lady drawing this, and so I'm going to make sure that Marianne gets this, but I have, when you fill those positions, just take a deep breath and say, I'm going to return back to what is love. What is honoring? And as you love and honor yourself, then you won't necessarily have to worry about the other people, because they will become very uncomfortable, and then they have to make a choice. So then you don't have to rescue them.
Oh, good.
You are only going to heal you, that you stand in your strength and your power and your essence. And it's just awesome when you say, and you begin to ask yourself, and you really know the only place to return is to love, because love is power.
Yes.
So as soon as I get that drawing about the victim and the rescuer and the persecutor and that circle of essence, I will send that to Marianne and let her send it to you, and or Marianne can send me your email address. But just use that. And when I'm physically working with someone on site, I will have them step in those and take deep breaths. But you get it, and I think I just sense you really got that you've been still focusing on them, and you've got to come and focus on your strength.
I do, because I am strong, and I let it be used for everybody else, and my spirit visited me and said it's not going to hang around much longer if I don't change, and I know that I have to change position. I can't just stand here.
Well, you're choosing to change. Are you choosing to change, or do you know you have to?
I'm choosing to. I'm not congruent with what God made me.
Yes. And there is a scripture that says that love yourself as you love your neighbor. So as you love yourself, and that was one of my big ha-ha moments when I decided if I would say yes to someone else, then I would say yes to myself. Or if I would do something for someone else, I will do it for myself. And if I won't do it for myself, no. No and yeses are complete answers. You don't have to put any excuses, blame, justification with it. No.
Okay.
Yes.
Very interesting. Thank you so much. I would love to connect with you.
All right. I will handle that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to mute this. And, Linda, I'm going to go to some web questions. Leticia from Salem, can you give me the steps again? I can't write that fast. Example, step one, who, step two, belief, et cetera. Can you do that for Leticia?
Okay. Yes, give me a moment here. Leticia, are you talking about the steps where we talked about the words, your power of your words?
Must be, Linda. This is coming from the Internet, so we can't interact
with
her.
Oh, you can't talk. Okay.
Right.
All right. Give me a moment. Okay. To begin the journey to awaken the spark of essence into the awareness, become aware your words, how your body responds, and where we hold these emotions in our body, and then we went into stress kills. And Marianne, I'd be happy just to send you my notes too.
Okay. All right. So let's just leave that. If Leticia can clarify and send me another note, we'll try to clarify that.
Okay.
The next one I can take. Beautiful teaching. That's for you, Linda. Can we listen to this time again? Thank you. We're going to send you the replay link tomorrow, and you'll be able to replay this to your heart's content, download it on an MP3, et cetera. Let's see. Leah in Vancouver. She's asking if you use the healing codes or Sedona or something else to get to the acceptance of being loved. Can you comment on that?
I use a lifetime of healing, and I use the healing codes. I use breathing from Kay and Katie Hendricks. I'm a certified charter member of their Living University. I have been studying, and I use the Bible. And one of the greatest teachers that has transformed my life about what the living word really is about is Joseph Prince. I mentioned him earlier. He's a pastor out of Singapore. You can go to josephprince.org. And he does 5 hours of teaching on this condemnation. And in that, he talks about how eagles go out and they pluck up all their feathers. The scripture that our youth will be renewed like eagles, and about what an eagle does and how he comes back and he's renewed. So it's just a combination of 68 years of living and learning. And yes, and I do the healing codes mentally as much as I do physically, Because if I'm in a meeting or if I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden I get tightness in my temple, am I going to make an appointment on time? Am I going to get a client? Whatever. I just take a deep breath and I just imagine I'm under just this beautiful shower of just pure love coming through my system. I tell you guys, when you begin to build this relationship with yourself, life becomes amazing. And it's a moment-by-moment choice. It's not something you learn today and put on the table. So, yes, there is. I have been a student of Gary Young, and I use essential oils. And Gary, to me, is one of the most gifted people in the world as far as understanding how the oils and the heart of the oils of plants, the oils, and how they relate to our blood system. So I continuously learn and study, and I teach the power of the Young Living oils and emotional release with them. So it's just a combination. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. I think it did. Here's another one. Linda, thank you. Please tell me how to finally get rid of the feelings and thoughts of not feeling deserving and worthy. That's Elaine in Orange County.
Elaine, what I would encourage you to do is look and be aware of where you hold that stress in your body and what is the thoughts come as you have what you're describing as the feeling. Where do you hold it in your body? And what is a thought? What is a consistent theme in your life? And then begin to look at how it all comes back to a vow you made to yourself. Like my vow was that I had this dog, and she was absolutely my best friend. I was 5 years old, and someone poisoned her. And I remember holding her head in my lap, and I had real blonde hair and goldy curls. And I looked up to the sky, and I said, God, if you're not any wiser, and you're not any smarter or any stronger than to save my best friend, get out of my way. I am stronger and wiser than that. And one of my sayings all through life was, if you don't want to get on my wagon, get off, because I'm coming through. And for 40 years, I lived with that lie trying to run my life. So it's knowing who you are. You're created in love, and you are loved, and really building that relationship so you hear your spirit talking to you. And I would encourage you to do the temple area a lot and connect your Adam's, the Adam's apple in the bridge area, and just take some deep breaths. And if we can be of further help to you, just let Marianne know.
Okay, Linda, amazing. Loved your quote from Pastor Joseph Prince about no more condemnation. How did you come to the conclusion that the spark of life, our spirit, is in the bottom of our spine? Thank you so much.
Well, it's where our sacral door is. It's where we open to the source of life. And our spine, I've always loved trees, and the tree, there is a tree of life. And so because the spine represents the tree, that's just my imagery and a conclusion that I come to, and it just gives me peace. It gives me that foundation of belonging. And so it just gives me peace. And yours may be in your throat. It can move around. Wherever you hold that, if you feel like you've got a tight, big black ball in your solar plexus, just put your spirit of love and light there, your divinity light there, and let it just feed it love and let it blossom.
Okay, I have another question. me from Jonesboro, in the question of what I can do now to heal this relationship, my answer is forgiveness. What is your suggestion?
Well, since I'm not sure what part of it needs to be healed, but forgiveness is always, I think, really acknowledging your responsibility and your part in whatever is in the relationship. Forgiving yourself. I believe we can only forgive two people, ourselves and God. And the other person is just a bonus that we get to forgive them or they get to forgive us. So, but first acknowledge how it is without judging, blaming, or criticizing yourself, and then go through the process of what needs to be done for you to be released of that. And again, I think the Adam's apple is a beautiful place just to really connect to what can be said and released to for forgiveness, and then move into gratitude. Even if the person has physically abused you, move into that place of gratitude that that person was in your life to help you heal. And that was an internet, right, Marianne? Hello?
I'm sorry, Linda.
That's okay.
This is from Audrey in Red Deer, Alberta. I have realized it is the most honorable thing to let the relationship with my sister go. It is hard to let her go and realize there is nothing I can do. Suggestions about actually letting go.
I would have an agreement with her that it's you are not in a place to be in a healthy relationship with her. And if you do love her, I would state I love you. And if there is ever anything I can really do for you, I would be honored to do it if you can do that. And I need to not be in contact with you or to be around you until I'm healed, and leave it in love. And if you can stand in that truth and you have peace, then I encourage you to do it.
Okay. People are asking if everybody can have the notes. So, Linda, if you can get me the notes today, I will put those into the playback email tomorrow for people so that we can get them to them tomorrow. The
okay.
other thing people are asking for is, could we all have the picture that you were talking about? And I'm not, since that's not done yet, I'm not quite sure how to do that. So what I would suggest is anybody on the phone who wants that picture from Linda, if you will send her an email at linda.brewer.
Linda B. Linda B.
Okay, Linda B, like boy, at
lindasbrewer.com.
At Linda S, like Sam, Brewer, that's B-boy-R-E-W. er.com. So send Linda an email, and that way she'll have you on file, and when her drawing is done, she'll be able to give it to you. All right, Linda, I'm going to pop back to the phone and take another call.
And Marianne,
the
if they
phone.
Will put in the subject line picture of our class today or something, just so I will not let anything fall through the cracks there.
There you go. Put in the subject line, picture from Success Now, and that will get her attention. All right, I have Atlanta on the line. I've unmuted you. Last four digits, 4183. Ready for your question.
Yes, hi. My name is Pam. How are you today, Linda?
I'm great. How are you?
I just have want to clarify something that you had discussed on the productive issues and as a woman and depression.
Mm-hmm.
I recently had some physical problems and had to have a hysterectomy and have gone into a state of real anxiety and depression. And I hear what you're saying on the, you know, how to express yourself as a woman. But because of the depression, where should I begin to start in identifying what I'm really feeling?
Do you journal?
Do I journal?
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
I would encourage you just to put out there for your spirit and God to answer you, how do I, at a subconscious level, believe who I am as a female or a woman, whichever question, whichever one of those words creates some emotion for you.
Okay.
And then I would say, and God, show me how you see me. And just keep keep that out there as something that you are seeking an answer for. And it will not, you won't be, it won't be forced. It will just come. And I can share with you, if you would like to hear my experience with that, that question, and I just find it so vital, is that I had found out I had been abused by my father, and so, and I asked a lady, and so she told me that, and one morning in my journaling, I mean, it just came out, and every nasty word you could ever think about a woman, that was what was stored in my cellular memory.
Okay.
And then he just says, Linda, you are my beloved daughter. I love you. Trust me.
Okay. All right. I think after having the hysterectomy and the hormonal imbalance, and I'm trying to get all of that, is there anything you would recommend on the endocrine system to get it balanced?
If you want to contact me, I would recommend some oils. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all righty. How do I do that?
I will Linda, I will make sure you have her phone number to contact her.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Thank you for asking and being with us.
Okay, I'm going to take the next caller, who is from San Antonio, Texas. Last four digits, 0103. Ask her question, please.
Yes, this is Suzanne, and in the beginning of your talk, you spoke about the cellular memories that we inherit from the from our conception and the thoughts of our parents. How does one discern or come to knowledge of what that is to clear it out in order to move forward if those cellular memories are indeed keeping us from success in relationships or some other aspect of our success?
I would encourage you to look at the pattern from your parents or from generations back. If there's something they say, oh, that's a generational thing, that is something that was brought in at conception. So you look at the patterns, and if it's causing stress in your life, you know that it's not in love, and there's not love and truth in it. So you discover, you begin to ask yourself, what is love and truth? And think about what caused the greatest stress in your life growing up.
Okay.
I remember at a very young age, I vowed I would take the very best of my parents. And that's what I wanted to be. The thing, at a very, very young age, I just knew I didn't want to live and be like they were. So I made a promise to myself, I want to take the best from them. So if you go back and you just, in love for truth, discover what has caused you the stress and what you can be grateful for, and then you can keep what is yours and that aligns with you, and then you can just give it back to them. Just blow it to them in love. And this may be continuously. I mean, I think our cellular memories always get triggered. The beauty of the healing codes and other natural healings is it makes us aware that we have a choice now.
Okay. So in other words, you're suggesting that we use the healing codes to eliminate any negative residues from the cellular memories.
Yes, that's That's the power of the healing codes. They help you relax enough to build that relationship with yourself that you hear your spirit. You can connect to your spirit, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, so now we're going to go to Atlanta. Last four digits, 3314. You're unmuted. Ask your question, please.
Yes, this is Penny calling. I happen to be the twin sister of Pam, who just spoke to Linda. And I had a similar situation. We both had a hysterectomy on the same day. And both, I was living a very full life. Felt like I was in accountability with God every day. Felt full of love and joy and peace. And after the hysterectomy, have been unable to get that back. And I heard you speak to my sister about the essential oils and just asking God how he sees me as his beloved daughter. I just, I didn't know if I would get through as well, and just wondered, Linda, if there's anything additional with thyroid and the endocrine system that you might could add to what you've already said.
I would encourage you to feel the loss of what you believed was part of your identity, your ability to mother and nurture. And yes, I do believe once you've had a complete hysterectomy that you do need natural supplements and things. And, you know, I would be happy to talk with you on that. But remember the Adam's apple, the thyroid, that anytime you can release toxin and toxin thoughts from your body, that's going to enhance your endocrine system and your thyroid and your gland system. And also the bridge, that's where the hypothalamus is.
Okay.
So those areas, just begin to notice and just grieve that you didn't lose your spirit, that you removed part of your internal organs, but you are the same spirit, the same person.
I think the hardest part for me, Linda, is because you do feel sad because the things that I used to do, it's like my life has been on hold for a year. So there has been some sadness and just grief because I haven't been able to get my life back. And, you know, I'm working with someone right now with hormone replacement and thyroid, obviously. But, and we're in the probably about the fourth or fifth month of that. And they say that it will get better, but it's almost paralyzing. And it's just so different than the way I've ever lived and was in accountability with 10 women who I, you know, shared my deepest struggles and they prayed and we trusted God and saw him do some great things. And now I feel like I'm just isolated from all of that because I can't get the reality of my emotions back and the energy and the desire to do it again.
And what I would encourage you to do is the temple area and let go of the thinking and do the left-hand temple and the right-hand Adam's apple and begin to build this conversation with you. My life is together. And what would that look and feel like for you? And feel that sadness. Feel that cracking in your throat and regain your voice. And whatever you can't do that you could do, well, if I can't do that, what can I do?
Okay.
So you're acknowledging there may be some, you know, you cannot have children anymore, but that doesn't take that nurturing spirit away from you.
Right. I am past the age of having children, so that's probably, that's not the grief and the sadness part. It's probably more the part of I want to have a life back with the women that I enjoyed and with my husband and just trying to get those back in line and, you know, maybe my expectations and then trying to figure it out. I understand the analytical thinking part of it, but my spirit has to lead me and not try to figure all of it out and accept to where I really am right now. And maybe it's the acceptance part that I'm having to work through.
Well, and I hear that temporal brain intelligence, I got to figure it out, and the judgment that's going with that. And so find the part of you that can really be grateful.
Okay.
The part of you that, for whatever reason you needed to have the surgery, that you are alive. And people loved you. They didn't love you because you had certain parts.
Okay.
And I believe that anytime something is taken away, whatever we have left is enhanced and enriched and radiates more.
I believe that in time. I really do believe. I say believe in time to believe it today and to act on it. And I am a grateful person, and I do try to spend time in the mornings journaling and telling God the things that I am grateful for, and looking for the opportunities that he may send my way even now. Someone had told me it would be like a year of receiving, because I've given so much away for so many years of my life, just to see it as God blessing me this year and that he wants to do a new thing in my life maybe.
Well, another one of my great ha-ha moments was when I stopped trying to figure out what God was up to.
Okay.
And just saying, God, you know, this is my circumstance. This is my thought. This is my feeling. How are we going to use it? How are we going to use it?
Okay. I'm writing all of this down.
And remember, this is recorded also.
Okay. And one other quick thing. My husband has had a little harder time accepting the fact that it takes a little time to recover from the anxiety and depression that can sometimes go along with a hysterectomy, and I feel like his demands have been a little strong. And I hear what you've been saying about I'm in charge of my health and where I am, so I'm not responsible for his issues and actions. However, he knows me for what I used to be, and I'm having to accept where I am, and so is he today. Any words for that?
It's just so you know, I understand that our relationship used to be like this, and never what these words are for you. Acknowledge how it used to be. And I realized I may have over-pampered you. I took on responsibilities that weren't mine, but we are one, and I really need for you to support me now. Can you do that?
Okay.
And then if he can, receive it in love. And if he can't, let it go in love and know that he's just not there.
Okay. I appreciate it, Linda. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom.
Well, thank you for joining us, Penny. And it's awesome to have sisters on here. So, anything I can do to help you ladies, I'm here.
Thank you so much.
All right, muting, and then I'm going to open one more line, and then we're going to go to the Internet. This line looks like an international line to me, perhaps a Skype ID coming in from a country code 52, perhaps. You're unmuted?
Yes, this is, yes. Hi.
Hi,
this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Oh, I'm great to hear you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have so many issues from my childhood that I don't know which ones are really bothering me more. Mainly with my father, also with my mother. Situations with abuse. Well, not really. I have. And when I was a child, someone touched my genitals and in front of my mother, so she didn't realize, she never knew. But I don't know if these things are still affecting me in my feeling of shame. I always feel I don't deserve things and I'm not good enough. That's the point. So, how can I start?
Where do you feel that in your body? Where is that stress?
Mainly in the chest.
In the chest, the upper part of the chest?
Yes, near the throat. Usually I keep having throat infections like coughing. In this moment I have bronchitis.
So it's not safe for you to breathe in life and love and then let it out. Is that, that's what I'm hearing with that. And also, if you could just go back to the to that time when you said your mother was there and she didn't notice something. As that young child, if you could look up through that young child's spirit and you could see your mother, at the age you are now, what would you say to your mother? And just take a deep breath and just let that little girl spirit come up. And what would you say in the language at the age you are now?
She wasn't prepared. I understand her that she could help me, but I feel I don't have to blame her.
No, I'm not talking about blaming her. I'm talking about this little girl having the power to cry out and say, Mommy, hold me, protect me. I'm afraid. And knowing that she would pick you up and hold you and protect you.
Yes, words can are hard to speak, asking help.
Yeah, but just do it. Just ask.
Yes, I will tell him, Mommy, I'm here and I need you. I need to protect me. And I know you can protect me.
Okay, now take a deep breath, and as you breathe that out, just cry out, I need Mommy.
I need Mommy.
How does that feel?
Easy.
So what else would you, is your mother still living?
Yes, she's living. This is an issue I can talk to her because it's she reacts easily to some things, and I understand that.
So how would it be for you just to go and say, what do you call her, mother, mommy?
Mamina.
Mamina. Mamina, I just need for you to hug me. Can we just exchange a hug?
Yes.
And if she says no, then be grateful that she, that you know that that's not how you want to live your life. And be compassionate that she cannot give you something she doesn't have, but that doesn't mean you have to deny it for yourself.
I'm sure she will. She will.
And just lean into her, and then whatever comes, be brave enough to share it with her. If you need to cry, if you need to speak, be brave enough to do it, and then say, thank you. That's been with me a long time, and now I'm free. People cannot give us what they don't have.
I'm clear on that. I know that. I understand.
Yeah, and you have it, so you can go give it to her. And if she can receive it, she will. And if she can't, you're still free.
Yes.
Yes. Congratulations. Let us know how that how that frees you.
Yes.
Take a deep breath. Yes, celebrate you.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. There are so many.
It's your life, honey. Live it. Live it.
I want to live it. I want to
breathe.
Well,
you want to,
or
you're going to do it? Want to will never get you anywhere. Are you sitting down?
No, I woke up because I need to move.
Okay, but if you were sitting down and you wanted to stand up, what would you do?
In this moment?
Yeah, any moment. If you want to stand up, what do you do?
I don't know. I will close my eyes, put my hands on my chest.
Now, I'm talking about if you're sitting in a chair and you say, I want to stand up, what would you do?
In this moment, I will walk.
Yes, you would do it.
To
there
breathe.
Would be no want. You would not want to. You would do it, right?
Uh-huh.
That I won't is one of those things that breaks that connection with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps us in our head that we're in need of something. But when you desire to do it, you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's okay. It does, I'm sure it's because we are talking about success, but it's... Do you think this is the, well, it's not possible to guess, but it can be related to my scarcity mentality?
It's related to everything. Our relationship to ourselves is everything. It's how we manage our finances. It's how we manage our energy. It's how we manage our relationship. It's everything. If we are in a constant struggle, then something goes lacking. Something is left, and we're out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, behind this memory, there is only one older memory with my mother. She's punishing me with something. Well, before. I can't remember why, but it's maybe related because with a toy, something I maybe destroyed, I can't remember. But most of these images I already have forgotten, or maybe, I don't know where are they, but I can't remember things. But I want, because all the healings are to... focus in imagine in the memories we have, the oldest memories we have, and I can't remember things.
Well, that's okay. You will when you're ready for that to be healed.
Okay.
This is not about forcing life. This is about the flow of life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a memory... You just don't have a memory. What you do have is the desire to live through your own power and courage.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That's the point. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Are we complete
Linda,
now?
Thank you. Can I have the mail with the information you are going to send?
It's going to be Linda, L, Linda B, like boy, at Linda. S, like Sam, a brewer, that's brewer.com.
Okay. Well,
right.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. You celebrating you.
Linda, I have a question for you. I have lots more questions from people. I am willing to go as long as you can go, dear. We are way past our time. Are you willing to keep going?
I am. If you
are,
how are you feeling?
I'm doing fine. Okay, next question coming from Nashua, New Hampshire. New Hampshire, 4382.
Hello, my name is Joyce. Hi. One of the things that you said at the end, forgiveness, even with abuse, you have forgiveness, then move into gratitude that that person was in your life to help you heal. I was actually abused by my uncle, and he forced me to manually and orally masturbate him. And I'm confused on how that person can help me heal.
And I would just encourage you to go ahead and let the tears come out, because I missed part of what you said, please, ma'am. How can that person be part of your healing?
Yes.
Or the experience can be part of your healing that you do not. How can you be a better person? Not that the experience made you better, but how can you be a better person than the experience? How can you be more of you, be love to people who may never be able to experience love unless you show up in their life as love and compassion?
That's very beautiful and very helpful. Thank you.
You are welcome. And just really let those tears come, honey. Let them come. Release it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
I really appreciate people asking for clarification. Thank you. That's so awesome.
All right. The next one, Linda, is coming from Thomasville, Georgia. Last four digits, 7953. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How may we help you today?
My past has been very volatile. As a child, growing up both with my father and my mother, lots and lots of issues, abuse, and
it's okay, just take your time, take a deep breath. We have time for you. There is enough time for you to heal.
Lots of feelings like I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I always feel like I need someone else to do it for me.
So you need to be rescued.
I feel so all the time, yes.
Yes. So where do you feel that stress in your body? Where's the greatest stress point?
Well, right now I have been diagnosed with gallstones. Other than that, I have my stress in my back. I have a lot of backache.
And the lower or the upper part of your back?
Both.
Both, okay. So what I heard was that you have held this anger in you so long that you're creating the hardness, the gallbladder is creating the hardness, the stones, and that you have carried the weight and the fear in the top of your back, and the longing to belong in the lower part and to be supported, that your body's breaking down and you don't know how to reach up and out for help and safety for the love you really are and the love that is really your inheritance.
Yes.
Does that resonate with you as being some truth?
Yes, very much so.
So one of the questions I would encourage you to ponder, will I let my past, because in a way they're still abusing you, there's still that volatility, will you step out in love knowing that you are not your past, and now at the age you are, you can stand in truth and love and say, no more, no more. I am love, and I am loved, and I will walk in that truth.
I will try. I've been trying.
Well, the trying is what it's like when you said, I'm trying. I just felt this shield come through down in front of you that you cannot break through. It is so thick and so dark and so heavy. So if you remove the I try from your language and say, I choose to do it. I choose.
Okay.
Try that. Say, I choose. I choose.
I choose.
How does that feel?
I'm not sure.
So go back to I try. I try.
Yeah.
Say that for me.
I try.
And then say, take a deep breath and move. Just move a little bit and say, I choose.
I choose.
Do you feel a difference in your body?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I
do. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have an inheritance. And you choose to heal through love and truth.
Okay.
Remember the tongue. What we speak will take us to our destiny.
Okay, I choose.
Yes, you do. You chose to be on this call today. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
You
very
are
much.
Welcome.
And thank you so much. Okay, we're going to some other Q&As. Well, we got one. Dharma from Granbury. I meant to thank you both. So thanks, Linda, for doing this program. It was wonderful, and for your palpable love. Will the recordings include the Q&A? The recording's going to include everything till we stop it. Let's see what else I got here. Linda's notes and contact, yes. What's going to happen is I'm going to give Linda every email that I've received with your email address, so Linda will be able to get in touch with you. So, okay, here's now a question. I'm in the same position that the caller is describing as being a victim, and what is said for her would be good for me. I have decided to heal myself and not try to heal anybody else. I am talking about the person who was on the phone talking about her relationship with her husband. The same has happened to me. Thanks, and send me whatever I can use. Okay, so that's that one. More about the notes. Now that I'm asking, I wonder if we could possibly, oh, never, that's something else. That's not for you. Someone is commenting that if people didn't manage to write down everything, they can review it on the replay. Okay, remember in the beginning, the lady Letitia from Salem asked about the steps. She has sent in some clarity, so here's what she says. I wanted the steps with regard to relationship. Step one was who. Step two was belief. One step was where do I feel stress when I'm around them. Honorable choice to move forward in truth and love. You know what? If we're going to send them out the notes, which we are, Linda, let's just let the notes speak for themselves, right?
Yes, and if they need clarity, feel free to contact me, yes.
Right, right. Leah from Vancouver says, great, thank you. Okay, here we go. Lori in Palm Springs. I am on unemployment and can't find work. I haven't been able to pay my mortgage and property taxes for 3 months. I don't have any family. I have lots of fear. I'm highly educated, but those jobs are no longer available. Any suggestions? I feel like I've been stabbed in the back, overwhelmed.
I would, again, go back to when you first had that feeling, and if all of this is happening, what can I really, really do? what is in my bucket of love that I've always wanted to do and do it? Dance. What is it you really, really, really want to do, have always wanted to do? And then every excuse you make, and then say, and what else? What can I really, really do that I would feel alive doing?
Terrific. Mary Jo from Greensboro, North Carolina. Dear Linda, your speech has been wonderful. My question for you is, while we don't have the right to change other people's behaviors, surely we have the right to set boundaries. Parentheses. I had the dubious privilege of growing up with alcoholism, end parentheses. My former Al-Anon sponsor and I never could agree on my attempts to stand up to my mother, for example, to disagree as civilly as possible, as opposed to trying to change her to suit me. I feel that I have the right to object to demanding manipulative behavior, for instance. What would you say to this? Thank you.
I would say congratulations. As long as what you do is in love and truth, you are in alignment with the divine, perfect will of your body, your mind, and your spirit. Always check the intention of your heart. Absolutely, just as we cannot change anyone else, no one deserves to be abused. No one. And when children can reach the age that they know that they can take care of themselves or whatever, you remove yourself from that. Yes, I support you doing taking care of yourself. You do not have to put up with abuse.
Okay.
Your spirit will never lead you wrong as long as your intention is love and truth.
Susanna from Lake Las Cruces, New Mexico. Are asthma and COPD related to the Adam's apple and the solar plexus? Every time you say breathe deeply, I am crying and feeling some deep release. Thank you very much. It feels like grief, question marks?
Yes, and grief and sadness is that inability to express anger. And the lungs and the COPD is afraid to breathe in love, that part of that receiving. And so as you breathe in love, and whatever your imagery would be, mine is I just feel those rays of love and shower of love coming through my very being. But whatever your imagery would be, just imagine your lungs being filled with just love, pure breath. And then as you breathe out, just breathe out the darkness, the fear, and discover what you're really, really so angry about that you don't trust yourself to express. The Adam's apple is awesome just to help you relieve that.
Terrific. Someone is asking, Linda, whether or not they're going to be able to get the notes or transcripts from all of the other calls. And let me just comment. That is not in the plan. I will speak for myself. I do not do notes. I'm an extemporaneous speaker, so what you hear is what you're going to hear. And there will be several other speakers like that. So you're lucky that Linda is a note person, so you'll get her notes. Let's go.
Well, the reason I have notes, Mary Ann, is because I can scatter all over the place. And this, I'm learning that to put things in process. So that's the only reason we have notes, because this is really what I really enjoy is this interaction. So my note development was very painstaking for me.
Okay. This is from Cindy in Shelby Township. I am confused about the three-column exercise in the beginning. What do we do with that information? You know, the X, the question mark, and
That was just a way for you to become aware of your feelings, holding your breath, what you're thinking. It was just a way for you, if you did that, just notice how much you stay in one of those positions, especially holding your breath. what gets breath gets life. And so if you have a lot of X's or Y's or whatever, notice that. And if you can remember what was going on, and then that can help you heal.
Terrific. In Kerry from Bethlehem, it seems strange to me to say that I am love when I know that God is love. Can you comment?
You were created by God. God is love, and He created you. So what can love create? He creates love. And He gives us a choice, which creates our stress.
That's beautiful. That was beautifully said, Linda. Here we go. I got, hang on. Dharma from Granbury. Thank you. So in order to use the success codes with these amazing discovery tools, would we focus on the belief that runs the stress and the associated feelings and images for block breaking and the honorable actions with related images and feelings for infusion?
Yes. I would, yes.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yes.
All right, that was an easy one. And I think I have one more, Linda, and then I'll go back to the phones and see. Thank you for the discussion and new ideas. Why should we forgive God? Does that imply that God has done something wrong?
No, what it implies is that we feel abandoned or forgotten or unloved by God. And so we're forgiving Him that we have felt like that. So it's our relationship that we believe that God has abandoned us. And He wasn't there. He doesn't hear us. Who is this God? And He is love. He's everywhere. And one of the beautiful things about just speaking, one morning I was going up to get my paper and I had a thought and I said, well, God, that's not the condition of my heart. And He says, well, where do you think that came from? He says, just trust me. I already know it. Just trust me and say it and get it out. So that's what I mean about we forgive God because we believed He wasn't there, and He really was.
Beautiful answer, Linda. We don't have any more hands raised, and we don't have any more questions coming in on the Internet. So, Linda, let me say a heartfelt thank you to you. You have done a masterful job. It was a beautiful session. At times, I had tears streaming down my face. So congratulations to you, and thank you to everyone who's been on the phone. We believe in you. We believe in your ability to be successful in your life, in your relationships, and anything that you choose to do. That's why we've put together the Success Now program, and that's why we're bringing special people to you like Linda today. I will make sure she has all the information I have, and she will contact you or Linda B. at lindasbrewer.com. God bless everyone on the phone. I'm going to unmute everyone, so if you want to say goodbye, there you go.
Thank
Bye,
you,
everybody.
Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Blessing.
God
bless
you.
Thank you. Oh, wait a minute. Look at this, Linda. John, I have somebody on the call who wants to talk.
Okay.
I'm going to take this. I'm going to mute people back down, and
okay.
I'm going to open up somebody's line. I have Durango, Colorado.
I just wanted to thank you. Thank you, thank you. It was wonderful.
Okay.
All blessings. Go in peace. Step into peace. Yes. Thank you. It has been an honor and a blessing and a joy. Thank you.
All right, and the conference is ended. God bless you, Linda. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marianne. Bye-bye.